Well, welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 10th of March, 2024. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can spend enjoying your word. We pray that you, Holy Spirit, will anoint our ears to hear that which God wants us to, that we might take these teachings to heart and put them into practice, Lord, to the end that your kingdom might be extended on this earth. We thank you for that. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Let's read one scripture to start off with. It's found in Genesis chapter 1 and it's verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." About 3 weeks ago, I spoke on being faithful and fruitful, and I felt that this particular message will concentrate more on just being fruitful. What does it mean to bear fruit? The instruction God gave man was, be fruitful, bear fruit. Now, he was obviously speaking about populating the earth by multiplication, and mankind, to a large extent, has done quite well at this. But of course, for you and I, command goes out to be fruitful. And we need to look at what it means to be fruitful, being fruitful. What does that imply? The reason for reading the scripture is to demonstrate that being fruitful is part of our DNA. God has designed us to bear fruit. It's a very sad thing, but very often one comes across people that are frustrated in life. And if one has to analyze the reason for that frustration, very often it's because in themselves they don't feel that they're bearing fruit. Whether they express that or not, that's somehow the implication. I think of somebody who's had a very active life, perhaps ran a big company at one stage, had a lot of responsibilities, a lot of demands on his life, and probably saw a lot of fruit as a result of it in the business world. Suddenly that person either retires or has some physical problem which incapacitates them. And they find themselves perhaps tinkering around in a workshop, whereas they're running a whole lot of departments internationally at one stage. And there's frustration. When we are debilitated for whatever reason, and we might be confined to our bed for a period of time, it's very frustrating, as many of us know. You want to get on with stuff, but you can't, and we feel unproductive. Now, it's not God's intention that you and I are frustrated, obviously, and we need to realize that we are designed. We've been made that way. We are designed to bear fruit, to be productive. And obviously, the question is, well, what does it mean to bear fruit? It's not too difficult to understand it in a business context or a career context or domestic context or everyday life context. Bearing fruit means getting things done, obviously. Be it cleaning the house, tending the garden, tending the shop, exercising our practice, etc., etc. But obviously God had something more in mind when he said we need to bear fruit. And the truth is that you and I are required and will only be satisfied really when in some way or another we are bearing fruit for the kingdom. We need to be people that on a daily basis bear fruit. Now, let's just analyze this whole fruit bearing process. It's not just a case of producing fruit. The whole process of fruit being produced has a number of stages. The first, of course, is planting seed. John 4:34-38, the Lord said this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. This whole process of bearing fruit implies a sowing and also, later on, a reaping. There is another step, of course, and I just need to mention it, 1 Corinthians 3:36. Here Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, talking about the ministry in general, and he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, as children of God on this earth, the way to be fruitful in God's sight, apart from day-to-day activities, the way to be fruitful is in some way to increase his kingdom on the earth. That in God's sight is real fruit, eternal fruit actually. And the kingdom of God on this earth always, always involves people. We need to bear fruit in the lives of other people. Now that bearing fruit can take many different forms. It can mean taking care of people. It can mean providing their needs. It can mean a host of things. But generally speaking, bearing fruit is when we extend the kingdom in people's hearts. And the only way to actually extend the kingdom of heaven in a person's heart is through the Word of God. It's only when the Word of God reaches us, our spirit man, that it actually produces fruit. Now, right there, I need to be very cautious because we can jump to the conclusion then that, oh, well, the only way to bear fruit is to be a preacher or an evangelist or a teacher or something like that. And yes, that is important, but we have to realize from these scriptures that this process of bearing fruit involves more than just the initial teaching or the preaching or the evangelism. That could be considered like the sowing, as it were. I planted, you see. Paul set the groundwork in the various churches. He taught them the basics. It took God to raise up an Apollos. Apollos was a lawyer of the day, a very eloquent speaker, a good arguer, a good debater. God used him, you see. But what did Apollos do? He took what had already been sown by Paul and others, and he argued that. He developed that, you see. He watered it. You and I plant a seed. Before that seed's going to produce fruit, it has to be looked after, and it has to be watered. And you see, you and I, as children of God, as a collective unit, as it were, are all called upon to be part of this growth process. It's not as if I come along and get somebody saved, that now that fruit belongs to me, in a way. Not at all. Somebody probably planted a seed before, somebody watered that seed, and I just happened to be the person on that particular occasion who came along and reaped the fruit. There might be many other occasions, and there have been, where all I've been able to do is perhaps just sow a seed, or perhaps water seed that was already sown, or try in some way to prevent some obstruction, stopping somebody from growing, protect somebody perhaps from misunderstanding. We're all involved in this all the time, and we need to be aware of it. You and I are required by God, not necessarily to save the world. One could so easily look at a great evangelists like the late Reinhard Bonnke, holding crusades, millions of people, such a large gathering that they could pick the crowd up from satellite pictures. Massive, massive campaign, and very fruitful for God. But you see, we can make the mistake of thinking, well, now, if we're not in that same category, don't count. That's not really true. Reinhard Bonnke said on one occasion that this whole ministry that he had relied on people. Hundreds and thousands of people. Obviously, to stage these massive crusades throughout Africa costs a lot of money. Very expensive procedure. That tent that he had was a real financial challenge. And Reinhard Bonnke said that, yes, there are great people that donate a lot of money to the ministry, but he said the majority of the funds that come in come from humble folk who are able to put in maybe a rand, maybe 5 rand. Hundreds, thousands of them, those people, all making that contribution, helped him to do what he had to do. In a sense, those people, every one of them, and those people who prayed in the quietness of their home, prayed for the crusades, etc., were all partakers of the great fruit of those great evangelistic campaigns. The point is this, that you see, you and I are required to bear fruit. But we've got to realize that we are required to produce fruit where we are planted. It's so important to grasp this. Where you and I are actually at is where you and I have got to produce fruit. And you see, it doesn't matter to God whether it's in the eyes of man seemingly big or seemingly small. Everything is of critical importance. We need to be aware of this process in the lives of people around us. People that perhaps we meet day to day, or maybe on the off chance in the mall or in a passageway somewhere. The point is this, that on every occasion we need to just be aware. What am I supposed to do in this particular situation as far as bearing fruit is concerned? Is it my responsibility just to be a good example? Perhaps the opportunity arises to sow a seed. Maybe I see a need for a seed that has already been planted just to be watered. And on the odd occasion, perhaps, time to reap, you see. Time to reap. We need to be ready for all of these things. And in all of that, you see, what are we doing? We're bearing fruit. We're bearing fruit. And we don't even have to be in contact with people to bear fruit. You and I can pray. We might be in a work situation where we see needs in the people around us. Bearing fruit is not necessarily hitting them over the head with the gospel. Family members as well. Very often you and I see the great need for salvation in our brothers and sisters in the flesh, fathers and mothers, uncles, aunts. Very difficult very often to share the gospel with family because they're so familiar with us and for many other reasons. But you see, what can we do? We can pray. We can talk to God about them and ask God to show himself to them. And every single prayer, let me tell you, God hears it. God adds it to his collection. And who knows what great results can happen from that. We can bear fruit wherever we are. And something else that we need to grasp is that sometimes God places us in a position where we seem to be constricted. And in our way of thinking, we feel that we are not being fruitful. Well, if we look at the Bible, we see a number of instances where people in that very position who thought that they were not being fruitful or not being as fruitful as they wanted to because of their circumstance actually produced more fruit than if they'd had the opportunity to do as they pleased. I think of Paul the Apostle. As you know, he was responsible for starting up churches all over Europe and Asia Minor. His modus operandi was to go speak in the synagogues, whatever happened, happened, and plant a church one way or the other. And this was highly successful over a period of time as he went throughout that part of the world. And so he had all these churches for whom he personally felt responsible. But you see, the time came where, because at the start, if there was a problem in the church, he'd pass by there and try and sort it out in the flesh. But what happened eventually is that things became more difficult as the church got bigger, to the extent that eventually he was unable to get there when there was a problem. We think of the church in Galatia. And then, to make matters worse, the Romans imprisoned him, as we all know. But you see, here we have Paul the Apostle, obviously a very active man, who had established all these churches and was hard-pressed to go and visit all of them all the time, incarcerated, stuck in a prison in Rome. And you see, how does one be fruitful when one is stuck in a prison? Well, people did come and go, and he did help the church there in Rome. But his answer to the problem was, as we well know, to write letters. Now, the point I would like to emphasize here is this. At the time, Paul probably felt very frustrated. He probably thought, I'm not being as fruitful as I used to be. I'm stuck in prison. And in that situation, he did the best he could. And here's the miracle. The best he could, which he probably thought wasn't achieving much, became his lasting legacy in the kingdom of heaven, on this earth. Even to this day, we read his letters, as we all know, 2/3 of the New Testament written by Paul. It's debatable whether those letters would have actually been written had Paul been free to go around and do as he pleased. But the point I'm trying to make here is this, you see, you and I might find ourselves in a difficult situation. We might even feel frustrated. But you see, in a situation like that, the last thing to do is to say to yourself, oh, well, I can't really be fruitful. Who knows? Possibly God's placed us in situations like that for a purpose. And you see, if we have the right attitude, and that's what I'm trying to communicate here, the attitude is, let me be as fruitful as I can, where I am, with what I have. That's all that God expects of you and I. That's all God expects of you and I. And the miracle is that possibly by just doing what you and I know to do, where we are, even though it might seem insignificant in God's hands, that insignificant act to our mind can produce a great wealth of treasure. I just think of the story of a great evangelist in America, Jamie Robison. His story is a fascinating one, and I have shared it before. But there was a young lady who unfortunately was sexually assaulted, and as a result of that, she fell pregnant. Now, in a situation like that, the law even then allowed you to abort the child, and she faced that choice. Do I abort this child and get on with my life? She was a Christian woman. Or do I put up with the shame, etc.? Well, God spoke to her, I believe, and she decided that she would have the child. An unwanted child from an unwanted violent relationship, she decided. This is the creation of God. She became responsible. She looked after that child, brought the child up, paid the price that every mother has to pay to look after a child, especially when you're a single parent. That child grew up in the ways of God and ultimately became one of the most successful evangelists that America has ever seen. What a story. That woman could have easily said, this is insignificant. But she didn't. The point is that by doing what she could, where she was, with what she had, God used her to change the world. I just think of these messages we put out every week. We don't know where they go, but we do it every week because we believe God's told us to. Who knows? Who knows? One day in heaven, we might meet people there that we've never known. But simply because we've just done what we know to do with what we have, their lives have been changed for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. I'm encouraging each one of us just to look at our own lives. And yes, be fruitful in the marketplace and in whatever we put our hands to. But see the bigger picture. We are commissioned to extend the kingdom, to be fruitful and multiply the kingdom. And every one of us is responsible. Every one of us is responsible to sow when we can, to water when the opportunity arrives, and praise God, to reap the fruit for the kingdom when that happens, when that comes our way. And of course, always to pray. One day we face God, as I mentioned 3 weeks ago. My prayer is that all of us will be rich towards God and have a lot of fruit to our name. A lot of fruit that in some way or another, be it big or small, we were responsible. May God bless you and I as we go about being fruitful. Amen.